Father, thank you so much for being our God, and thank you for the opportunity we have to open your word tonight, to look at your plan, for that is the only thing that is important. Thank you for moving me out the way that you may have the freedom to say and do whatever to whomever. Father, thank you for teaching us, and thank you for allowing us to learn together. In your Son's most holy, precious, and glorious name, we all say. All right. First thing we got to come is we got to establish a couple of things. How did you guys enjoy walking through the top part of the Trinity for the last 2 weeks, studying Godhead without knowing you were studying the Godhead? Huh? And what part of the Godhead did we study for 2 weeks without knowing we were studying that particular part of the Godhead? And it was? God the Father. Okay? So we're going to walk through tonight something that you're going to have to deal with to understand. And if you don't understand going through the Trinity, you will never, ever be an effective prayer warrior. I threw that out. Did you hear me? It's important for you and I to understand what we're going to deal with. Hopefully we can get through the Trinity tonight, because we've already laid the foundation for the Word. How important is Scripture? All important. What's the only thing that's true about God? Well, God has said is true about Him. Anything that we, a man, our church, our denominations can come up with that God hasn't said is what? Idolatry. And that's so important for us to remember. Moving from the Word, laying the foundation, look on the first part when we studied Scripture. Now let's look at what we have laid out. This is how we know we have been studying the first part of the Trinity. You're going to have to tell me as we walk through it, is it the role of the Trinity we have talked about, or is it the essence of the Trinity that we have talked about in the last couple of weeks? Okay? We'll break that down for you. Now, give me the 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 of what we studied about the Scripture. What's the first one? The character of Scripture. Second, the scope of Scripture. 3, the duration of Scripture. 4, the center of Scripture. You can speak out, and you will not be graded on how low you talk. All right? The center of Scripture. 5, the job of Scripture, the cogs that was working together to make sure that everything lines up. Everything has to be 100% incompatible. Cannot have anything that contradicts at all if it's going to be the job of Scripture. And then right in the middle, we go Scripture, 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 5 things. And then the 6th thing we looked at last week was what? Character of God. So we looked at the very first thing was the character of Scripture, walked down through all aspects of Scripture, and then I threw in at the end the character of God. It is the Godhead. Now, if we start the class off talking about the Trinity, most of us will have a fuse blown already. All right? So I decided to come this way to lay it out according to Scripture, so then we can move into that part which cannot be understood. The part that can be understood is the Scripture that God has revealed. That which cannot be understood completely by man is that which God has not revealed. God has not given us a total revelation of Himself. He has only given us what it takes for us to believe. He's given us enough for us to know. And to believe and to know is the foundation of all confidence in walking with God. Can you be secure and not know it? Can you be secure and not know it? Yeah. Can you be confident and not know it? No. See. Confident is dependent upon knowledge. That's why we must be in the Word. Security is based upon God, not you. Because if we had to live on our security in knowing, none of us would ever make it in heaven. Well, you're looking at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. All right, let me break it down for you. I went to speak up in Wisconsin many years ago. And believe it or not, during the winter, lakes freeze. in Wisconsin. Can I have an amen? I mean cold for a brother. That's why brothers like to be in the south. South end of the sun. So we're driving from the airport going up to the church. And I look out and there's people that is not only out on the ice. There's some people that have driven out on the ice. A car. And not only did they drive a car out on the ice, there's some idiots got out there and started cutting holes in the ice to fish. That's what they call it, ice fishing. Now, the brother is from Alabama. We don't even allow our refrigerators to freeze anything down there. You just keep it cool, and we're fine. So I'm looking, and the guy goes, "You're pretty interested in what's going on." I said, "Yeah, I've never seen anything like that. That's amazing. I've heard about it. I watched it in TV and to see it for real." He said, "Hey, come on, let's go and walk out." I'm like, "I'm not walking out of the night." I said, "Come on, you want to be like Jesus? Be the only time you can walk on water." Come on, you know. So I'm thinking, "Wow, man, that's pretty heavy duty." So they finally convinced me to go and walk on the ice. So I went and I got about 15 feet from shore at the most. So if I went down, I'm only going to get the bottom of my legs wet, and I can run back to the car. Can I have an amen for somebody? See, now I want to ask you a question. The guy that was out in the middle of the lake drove his car out there, built a little house, so they can build a fire, cut a hole, and fish. Which one of us is more secure? Him or me? Security, we're both the same. The ice is going to hold me whether I believe in it or not. Can't hear you. Now, which one of us has more confidence in the ice, him or me? Him, because he knows what? He knows the ice. All right? So your faith, when it comes to confidence, is only as good as your knowledge of what you're putting your faith in. That's confidence. But your security is based upon not your faith, but the object of your faith. Okay? So when we walk through the scriptures and we're going to look at the Godhead, every aspect of what you're going to do with God is based off you really believing scripture and understanding the essence and roles of the Godhead. You cannot pray correctly if you do not understand what has been revealed in the Trinity. The triunity, do you realize you cannot find anywhere in the Bible the word Trinity? The triunity of God. You cannot find that word anywhere. Triunity, Trinity is the word man has given for the doctrine of the God of three, three, and one. If you go to the Bible trying to find the word Trinity, you're in trouble. But if you go to the Bible and try to find the doctrine of the Trinity, you are in luck. Okay? Now, can a man understand the Trinity? So what has been revealed, you can understand the Trinity. But the man who tries to fully understand the Trinity will lose his mind. And the man who denies the Trinity will lose his soul. As for me and my house, I'm going with faith. Can I have an amen from somebody? And stay sane. So triunity. It's triunity in the Old Testament, triunity in the New Testament, the major roles of the Trinity. Now this is where the greatest respect of all relationship. If we have studied that which is perfect, everything on the earth must be based upon that which is perfect. Everything you see on earth is a reflection of God's relationship to God. There's nothing more perfect than God's relationship to God. That's why marriage is the most holy thing held by God, because marriage is the only relationship on earth that reflects God's relationship to God. Only thing. Have you ever wondered why God would say the big debate in church over divorce? Have you ever wondered about that? A divorced person, you see through scriptures, they say, can they be a leader? Can they be a pastor? Can they be an elder? And that's a big debate. But a person that was a murderer, if he's repentant, don't say, be an elder. Can be a pastor. Child molester. If he's repentant and is walking with God, there's no debate. He can be a pastor, an elder. You kind of think, well, this a person that is a child molester or a murderer seems to be worse than someone that divorces. Why is that the only thing then that God deals with? Because what is marriage? The only relationship on earth that reflects God's relationship to God. Any questions so far? Tell me what you know about the Trinity, since you don't have questions. Tell me your understanding, your teaching of the Trinity. What you have been taught, what you have been molded to believe, what you have walked with all these years of your Christian life. How you have struggled not with the aspect of the Trinity. Yes, ma'am.
It was explained to me, or I read it in a child's book, to understand it, it's like an apple. There's the skin of the apple, it's apple, it's not an orange, it's not anything else. There's the flesh of the apple, that's apple, it's not orange, it's not anything else, it's apple. And there are the seeds of the apple. So those are three aspects of one being.
Yes, that's what T.D. Jakes believes. That's wrong. T.D. Jakes is not a Trinitarian. You guys know that, right? He would believe that concept because you only got one aspect. Some have tried to explain it as the difference between, egg, a difference between water, ice, and steam. They're all wrong concepts. And that's where we really get in trouble when we try to understand that in those aspects. I'm going to give you the best example you have ever heard of. I'm going to give you the best, and the best you're ever going to hear about is still idolatry. Why? Because it's coming from me, not coming from the Word. Anything that does not come from God, at best, is a good idolatry situation. Okay? But I'm gonna explain it to you the best way that I have been able to conceive through the scriptures what the Trinity, who the Trinity, and how the Trinity is without it being that. It's three persons, one God. It's according on if you're talking about essence or roles. Still got three gods. But it could not be God, but it's gotta be God because each God's gotta talk to God. Oh, it is. It's three gods. That's one. And only one God, that's three. Why don't you love it? Huh? The concept of the Trinity is beyond, the concept of the Trinity is 100 times more difficult to understand when we get into the whole concept of predestination and free will, which there really isn't anything as free will, it's responsible will. We'll talk about that. But it's the two concepts of Calvinism and Arminianism. Arminianism is you choose. Calvinism is you were chose. And the Bible says they're both true, which logic says it's impossible for both to be true. We're going to walk through that. All right? You're going to love that, guys. You're going to love it. Honest. Okay? Okay? Because we have, most people believe the Bible. How many times have I said this? Why does most people believe the Bible? Because they don't know what it says. And when we find out what it really says, we have to struggle with how could we have been taught wrong for so long. You know why? Because we didn't get in the Bible. We let someone else tell us what the Bible says. Okay? And if I want to learn about my wife, I don't have to run around to everybody in the world that knew her. The best thing to do is do what? Go talk to her. So if I want to know about the Bible, it's good to get feedback from others, but the best place to learn about the Bible is where? What's the best way to study the Bible?
Read it.
Read it. Read it. Absolutely, Al. What's the best commentary on the Bible? The Bible. I used to wonder why all those books in the Christian bookstores and in guys' libraries, and I go, man, how can these guys write these books? I was just looking at books and books and books, and then I had to come to one conclusion. Many of those guys spent more time with God than I have. And if they write stuff that's wrong, then those guys spent more time with other men who spent time with God than I have. Huh? You a little nervous yet? This is going to be a great class. I can see it. Okay, let's look at the Old Testament. Did I put some verses on these, or do we have to start reading? You guys can read those, right? I don't feel bad. You can't even read that out with your glasses on. It's so small, bro. Let's walk through the Old Testament. Now, what are we talking about? Can you hear you? The Trinity. The tri-unity of God. If you try to understand the Trinity, you will what? Lose your mind. If you deny the Trinity, you what?
Lose your soul.
Lose your soul. Now, one of the things, you got a guy like T.D. Jakes, most people don't know where he stands on the Trinity. You got to ask the question, is he saved? If he has a wrong concept of the Trinity, is he saved? You ask Mormons, you ask Mormons about Jesus Christ, and they will give you all the right answers that you think, unless you take it deeper. And you ask them, okay, is Jesus and Satan brothers? And they will tell you what? Yes. Is that the Jesus of the Bible and the Trinity? No. You can ask a Jehovah's Witness. Is Jesus the Son of God? They'll tell you what? Yes. But you got to ask another question. Is Jesus God? They'll say no. So our basic understanding, if we understand the Word is all important, the Scripture, then we better know what the Scripture, who has come from God, has said about Himself. Amazing? Question before we go any further. Questions? Don't ever think a question is a dumb question, right? Even if I laugh at you. Yes, ma'am. We'll do a class on. That could be phase 10. You know, we may just take a time out in the middle. It'd be the first time I've ever done it, right? If I do it before the end of the class. We may just have to take a class and do it because it's so helpful. But I cannot teach you about prayer and how to pray correctly until we walk through several weeks of this because you won't get it. We're gonna teach you how to teach yourself how to study the Bible. It's phenomenal. Hank Hanegraaff don't believe in pre-trib. He's a post-trib guy. You guys know that, right? He's post-trib. I'm so pre-trib, I want to eat post-toasties. Alright, we'll get into those things too. Alright, Old Testament, God said. And God said, Genesis 1 verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image. Question? God said, let us make man in our image. Who is he talking to? Talking to himself, who is not himself. Right? Come on now, put your brain in gear. He can't be talking to the angels, because the angels and God is not in the same image. He's talking to Jesus and the Holy Spirit, or he's talking to, if he's asking in the role, either one of them could be talking to the other two. But if you put it in roles, only one can be talking. If you put it in essence, either one can be talking. If you put it in roles, only one of them can be talking. God the Father. We're going to walk through that in a minute, okay? And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowls of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. Did you realize, before the fall, man had complete control over everything on the earth, and every animal, every dinosaur? Man, Adam and Eve could walk outside their hut, and tell that Tyrannosaurus Rex, get off my grass! and everybody had to get up. Huh? Yeah.
It brings up an interesting thought.
Yeah.
He's got dominion over everything. Doesn't say anything about his own DNA in there, but it gets us into this modern
stuff. That's right.
It's not really mentioned. That's a separate category, isn't it?
Yeah, but we'll talk about that, because they are created things, right?
Well,
so they had control over their destiny. He only gave them one rule of what not to do, and that was, don't eat of this tree. They never told them what the tree is. And then we're going to find out, what were their eyes open to? Okay, it's very important for us to, we're getting way ahead of ourselves, aren't we? Should we slow down a little bit? Okay? Now, let's talk about this image thing. Let us make man in our own image. What is making man in our own image that he didn't do with all the plants and animals? What was that? He didn't make him in the image. Thus, we got to come to a conclusion. What is the image of God? Because if you look at us, what is the image? Because there's so many of us. Is God a conglomerate of every human being on the earth that ever has been, ever will be? That's one of the things you got to ask. Or is there something deeper about God's image and man being made in that image?
Self-awareness?
The ability to worship God. You ever seen a cow before it gets grass, thank the Lord for the grass? You ever see a bird fall down on his little tiny legs and praise God for the worm he's back eating? God is so amazing, he made the robin and the sparrow have a different appetite. You ever notice that? A sparrow is quick. Even sit still quick. It's gone. You ever notice that? God gives it the desire to eat insects. A robin is cool. What does a robin like to eat? Worms. You know what God did? God made a radar system in a robin. And he put a vibration machine in a worm. And when a worm moves, it gives out vibration. And when a robin moves and stops, it's listening for vibes. The worm moves, it's vibes. And you just watch it. And it's absolutely amazing. If God had gave the robin and the sparrow the same appetite, the sparrow would just sit on the tree and wait for the robin and they find it. Then just, whoop. The little robin would lay on his back like most people and scream, have whiny kid. Except around my kids, they have air rifles. They have to get up real fast and fly. You never see animals who has never had fellowship with God broken. Only man who was made in the image of God with a decision to worship or not worship, broke fellowship with God. Yeah, Dan and Chief. Does God what? He's self-sufficient, you don't have to. Okay? So when someone tells us that God made man because he was lonely, that is the greatest lie in the world. How can self-sufficiency be lonely? Everything within himself that he owes and needs is there. Why did God make man then? For his amusement. That's funny. No.
Somewhere it says something about populating the earth. I just vaguely remember.
Populating the earth?
Well, done with the earth.
Go there, Malta.
Somewhere. Mm-hmm. It says something. I don't know where it's at, but I remember it from way back.
Genesis. What did God make man then? If he's totally self-sufficient. I can't hear you. Companion? He doesn't need companionship. He got the Trinity. He's self-sufficient.
Must have a purpose, but who cares?
Yes. I mean, Al, you're very close. There's a purpose. But why would God make man if he's totally self-sufficient? It's a perfect thing to do. If God is perfect, that which he did has to be the perfect thing to do. When he made relationships and marriage, it is because it was the perfect thing to do. And what God has done is with Satan, not his brother, but the fallen greatest angel, has done everything to take God's perfect plan and substitute it. That's why we have Christ who has come to us, and Satan has the Antichrist to come to destroy us.
Is that why God made man?
Is that why God made man what? God made man because it was the perfect thing to do. No other answer. No other reason. Why did God make salvation this way? Perfect thing to do. Why did he give man a choice? It was the perfect thing to do.
So is Satan and the Antichrist, are they the same?
No. The Antichrist is Satan's son, just like Jesus Christ is God's son. Okay? Isn't that amazing? We're going to walk through that, especially when we get to the last part, if we ever get through to the last part in this class. Alright. Image. We got it? Made in God's image. Making in God's image is a reflection back to worship. To choose. And why did God make man to respond back to worship and to give man choice when he knew he was going to fail? What's the answer to that? It was the perfect thing to do. How do we know that there are no other human beings on any other planet? Better than that. Knowing God is perfect, knowing the salvation plan is perfect, Christ would die once. If he put human beings on any other planet, they would have to do what? Like us. Fail, because his plan is perfect, has to be perfect every place to place. Thus, Christ would have to die on another planet, and Christ says, he will not die but alright, we'll walk through that as we go through the class. I mean, everything you need to know about science, everything, if you understand Scripture and the Trinity, you can answer all questions. Why did Christians start science? And it was Christians, it wasn't the non-believing world started science. Why did Christians start science? Not to prove God, but because they knew God. Why did they start science? Disprove it? Nope. What's that? Explain? No. What's that? To know him is part of it. Why would they do it to know him? To study his order. If God is a God of order, everything he has done must be done in an orderly way. Thus, what will Satan do? He would come along and say creation was in order and create a way that it must be disorder, evolution. That's why we all have to come to the point of understanding completely in God's fear is everything that's caused is caused by something that's caused until you back up further enough that we must come to the conclusion that everything that's caused must have an uncaused cause that caused everything that's caused. You're going to hear that over and over and over as we go through. Because without it, there is no life. Yes. Yeah.
But there might be life of some sort that's not Christian. That's not mentioned.
Could be some type of life. What is it? You know, you got to still look at the aspect of what life is. Life came from the Scripture. Remember what we said? Where does life, all life comes from? And if there's life elsewhere in the essence of what we call life, it has to be based off of the perfect way, right? It definitely tells everything we need to know whether it's out there or not. And that's nothing. It's all centered around back here with God's plan on the third planet of the solar system, 93 million miles away from the sun, traveling out of speed, that if it's happened 1 millisecond, we're about flying like crazy and all of us will be dead. Yes?
Okay, getting back to no other human life on any other planet, why would he, if this is a big experiment, why would he
not have life on other planets where nobody sees me.
Wouldn't be the perfect. Any other way wouldn't be perfect, and God wouldn't be perfect. That's why trusting a God that isn't perfect. My gun's a holster. Yes, ma'am. We got, we're dealing with the Exodus, we're dealing with Romans, we're dealing with, oh my goodness, it's consistent through the entire Bible, really, from Genesis 1-1 to Revelation 20-21. And the biggest example we get in the Old Testament is when Moses hit the rock twice. He made a serious mistake when he hit the rock. The first time God said, strike the rock and it'll give you living water, to the, right? To the Israelites. Second time he says, speak to the rock. And Moses went out and did what? Struck it again. And God says, uh-oh, you don't hit my son twice. Hebrews chapter 6, beginning with, it really begins with verse 5:11 through 6:5, 6:6. Talks about you cannot re-crucify Christ over again. Thus, if you lose your salvation, you can't get it back. Because you will not be re-crucified. Okay? Great verses. Okay? So, okay, we ready to roll? All right, Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, Israel, the Lord, our God, is one Lord. Now, here we go. Genesis says, I'm going to make man in our image. Deuteronomy says, there's only one Lord. Only one God. Does the Bible contradict itself? If it does not contradict itself, we got a dichotomy in the Bible of a concept that we must hold on to and swallow and grab. That's a lot of people. Alright, Genesis 16:7-13. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness by the fountain in the way of Shur. Who are we talking about? Hagar. Hey, God. I want to ask you a question. If Abraham would have never listened to his wife, we wouldn't have all the rioting going on right now over Khartoum. You guys know that? If Hagar had said, no, that isn't right, we wouldn't have had two nations, one trying to control the temple, Mount in Israel, while the other one is can control the wall in Israel. Who is in control of the Temple Mount right now, Israel or the Arabs? Arabs. Mosque of Omar. The Mosque of Omar is where Arabs said Abraham bought Ishmael. Jews says where Abraham bought Isaac. If it wasn't for this story, we wouldn't have that story. Now, I believe that Sarah, being the strongest woman that she was, did not believe not having a kid was her fault. We've had time to prove that. Can anyone understand why that would be? Who was the strongest in the family, Abraham or Sarah? Can't hear you. Sarah. She submitted, no doubt. Abraham had a yellow streak in his back a mile wide. Gave his wife up twice to save his own neck. And she submitted to it, and God stepped in. Now, since they didn't have any kids, it's all about, he only waited about 25 years to have a kid. Seemed like it was much longer than that, doesn't it? Can you hear you? He was tall when he was what? 75. Had the child at 100. I think even with an old athlete, that's 25 years. Okay? Check this out. I'm charged up, right? Alright? And he said, hey God, Sarai's maid, whence comest thou? And whither would thou go? And she said, I plead from the face of my mistress Sarah. Why is Sarah so mad at Hagar? I can't hear you. Why is she so angry? Is the baby born yet? This is 13 years earlier than Sarah is going to kick her out again after the boy is born. Why is Sarah so mad and making Hagar's life so miserable at this time that she runs away to the desert? Well, let's see. Is that some jealousy, do you think, with a man and sleeping with another woman, even if you ask him to? Now, I believe, if you look at it, how mad she got at Hagar when she got pregnant. Before, she was at Abraham. Hagar got pregnant, she went off. Because I truly believe, if you look at the attitude of Sarah, she told Abraham, go sleep with my servant, Hagar. Because what did I believe Sarah had a problem with? She didn't think having a child was her fault. So how can you prove it, if you're a woman, to get the pressure off of you, if it was a man's fault or not, who got the blame? The woman. So if I sit in there with my servant girl, and she don't get pregnant, what's the common denominator? Come to the girls. Amen. I'm talking about. So everyone in the camp's going to know it ain't her fault. It's whose fault? Abraham. But whoa, boy, Hagar come out. Ain't nothing wrong with your man, girl. Because Sarah, and you can look at her attitude, she gets a little puffy when she's pregnant and Sarah isn't. And the jealousy hits. And she just treats Hagar like a dog, so bad that she leaves. Okay? Now she's out in the desert, and the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress, and submit thyself under her hand. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for the multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shall bear a son. This is before the child they were born. But she started being treated this way. And shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has heard thy affliction. And he will be a wild man, his hand will be against every man. Is that not the Muslim nation? And that's why we're going to have a big movement to destroy most of the Muslim world before one world government, because one of the only people that's not going to submit to a one world government. Talk to me, folks. We're just seeing the Bible unfold. Alright? And he will be a wild man, his hand be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And she called the name of the Lord that spoke unto her, thou God sees me, for she said, have I also have looked after him that sees me. There's more than one God that's involved in this. The God that's talking to her, that she sees, and the God who sees the God who sees her that she sees. So the angel of the Lord that came down to Sarah was an epiphany. The epiphany is Jesus. And God the Father sent him down to tell her, you go back and submit. 13 years she submits under that woman. And then gets kicked out. How would you like to go back because God asked you to go back, and 13 years later, after taking all that mess, you're kicked out anyway? And this time, the husband helps. I really didn't set it as a question I want you to answer, because you just looked at me like, I'm not answering that. So keep me from feeling bad. I'm just going to move on. All right, New Testament, Matthew 28. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of people who say that earlier manuscripts don't have all three of these. Guess what manuscript we're going to go to? Manuscripts got all three in. Because if it's not in the earlier manuscripts, it's written in such a way in Greek that it is inferred that it's talking about all three, okay? Always remember that when someone throws the early manuscript at you. Now, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, first verse we looked at, in our image, there's only one God. We have now, to match up with the Old Testament, New Testament, the one God is God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and the three gods is God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. You're looking a little confused. First Corinthians 12:4-6. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operation, but it's the same God which works in us. You better understand this verse. If you don't, you won't understand gifts. And when we get to the gift of tongues. What is the Trinity in 1 Corinthians 12? What's that? Characteristic aspects are, is their roles. See the roles? Check out the role. The Holy Spirit's role is to give what? Can you hear ya? Gifts. Holy Spirit's job is to give gifts. Why is it the Holy Spirit's job to give gifts? Gifts is a reflection of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit says, I'm going to make sure every church can reflect Jesus Christ. Thus, it is my job not to let you ask for the gift you want, but for me to make the church look like Jesus. So when you don't come to church, you make the church deformed because your gift isn't there. We're going to talk about that when we go to the church. Can I have an amen from somebody? I shouldn't be the only one getting excited about this. Yeah, Al. Can you imagine getting up, Al, and going to work and your right eye say, I ain't going today? See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's what happened with the church. It isn't about whether I want to go or not. It's obedience issue, so when the church gathers, it looks like Jesus instead of a one-eyed giant. Okay? We see the Spirit. Understand that is going to be so important because everything is based off of the Trinity and everything is based off God's relationship to God, right? So everything that goes on under God must reflect the Trinity. Did you know that? That's why if you're going to pray, it must reflect the Trinity. Okay? There are differences of administration, but the same Lord. What is the Lord's responsibility? Can't hear you.
It says administration, but I don't know what that means.
Okay, anyone got another translation that talks about administration or certain jobs? Responsibility. He is the head of that administrative body called the church. Okay? You got the head, you got the Spirit who gives that picture of the body, and he's the head. The Lord, and look at this, and there are diversities of operation, but it is the same God who works in all of us. So what is the purpose of the church through the Spirit giving gifts and the head of the church being Christ to reflect God? What is it? Through God's Word. You guys are going to love this man when we get to the church. I shouldn't get excited, should I? It's just Bible stuff. Major role, 2 Corinthians 13:14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. And everyone said at the end, amen. What do we got here? Three gods? Or one? Or do we have one God? That's three. If you say yes to both, you're correct. If you say yes to one, you are incorrect. T.D. Jakes believed in the other. There's one God with three different roles. Meaning God, at one time, played the role of God the Father. Next time, he played the role of Jesus Christ. And the next time, he played the role of the Holy Spirit. It's only one God that takes on three different roles. Is that what the Bible teaches? Now, would you guys like for me to walk through my fabulous explanation of the Trinity? Well, I'm not. We got to go to a little bit more explanation. Okay? Is everything Jesus does God's will? If he doesn't, he sins. Thus, he can't pay for our sins. Here's a perfect example of obedience that we as the church has to be. Yet, totally independent at the same time. He's never out of fellowship with God. See, if we never got out of fellowship by being controlled by the Holy Spirit, you couldn't sin. But you can get in and out of control of the Holy Spirit very quickly. We're going to talk about the gift of being filled with the Spirit. There's a difference between being filled. There's a difference between being baptized. A difference between being what's the other one? Baptized and filled. Three different ones. Okay? S-E-A-L-E-D. Filled. As that Southern accent sometimes comes through and sounds the same way. Are you ready? Can hear you. Oh, I see you guys are just not rolling with me. Essence and roles. This is where we're going to break down and start getting to some real good understanding of the Trinity. Now, how many people have you seen get mixed up with different verses in the Bible that sounds like it should be for everybody, and then others sound very dogmatic and prejudicial? See, you gotta understand some things. If you read a Bible verse, is it an essence verse or is it a role verse? If it's an essence verse, can it ever be a role verse? And if it's a role verse, can it ever be an essence verse? If you don't understand this, you can see why denominations are confused about leadership. Not only in the church, but also in the home. And if you don't understand this, you can see why women will have a difficult time with submission. Men will totally misunderstand headship. Because we try to live in roles instead of in essence in roles in relationship. We know that God the Father is the same, yet at the same time, we know that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit submits. You can understand that, then you got the perfect understanding of how relationships work. Hear your amen for somebody. Am I the only one excited about this tonight? Or are you just confounded? I've got you confused, but you ain't confounded. Yee! All right, here we go. Those of you that was in the relationship class will love this, because every class I do starts off with this, because everything we do biblically is based off of this. If it's based off the Trinity, everything I teach got to be based off of what? The Trinity. Now, I know that some of you people that is taking it challenged is looking at me going, that's a recycle. Come on, talk to me. How many go, oh, he don't know it. That's recycle. Now, I know that's recycle time. Now, the reason why is because God can take garbage and make something good out of it. Can I have an amen on it? Plus, that's the only thing I can find. Now, all right. Those two are two good reasons. Now, looking at it, essence and roles. You tell me, who's the greatest? God the Father, God the Son, or God the Holy Spirit? Those of you who've been in this class before, be quiet. Who's the greatest? God the Father, God the Son, or God the Holy Spirit? Yes. God the Father? If. That's a major if on that, right? If. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of little reputation. Same verse, right? Set of verses anyway. So, God the Father's greatest if. Now, the if is what? We all know that if is the greatest and the largest word in the English language. If Custer wouldn't have went to the Little Bighorn, he wouldn't have invented arrow shirts, right? Some of you get it on the way home. That's pretty funny. Mark, it's if you're talking about roles. If you're talking about roles, God the Father is the greatest. If you're talking about essence, neither one's the greatest, they're all the same. Can't hear you. Now, if we talk about essence, would I be wrong biblically to put Jesus Christ at the apex of the triangle? No. How about putting the Holy Spirit up there? Would it be wrong? No. So, thus, looking at essence, if I can prove that God the Father and Jesus Christ is the same, I've proven already that God the Father and the Holy Spirit is the same. And if I can prove that the Holy Spirit and God the Father is the same, and the God the Father and Jesus Christ is the same, I can prove that Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit is the same, yet never be the same. That's the Trinity. Now, in roles, who's the greatest? God the Father. Who is second? Jesus Christ. Who is third? Holy Spirit. In roles, if I put Jesus Christ at the top, would I be biblically correct? I would be wrong. In roles, what if I put the Holy Spirit up front or second? Would I be completely right doctrinally? No. This is the difference that you got to understand. We're going to walk through some Elson's and role verses, and you're going to tell me, is it Elson verse or role verse, and why they are not, or why they are. Can't hear you. We all together, right? We still together?
Yeah.
If you don't, if you lose it, you must speak up, because this is essential to totally understanding everything that works, Christianity, the Bible, the church, everything. Okay? If I say God the Father is the greatest, what am I talking about? If I say they're all the same, what am I talking about? Do you realize then that this is the Holy Trinity. In a reflection of the Holy Trinity, which we call the unholy Trinity, you have relationship. God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit is at the top. Who takes Jesus Christ's place in Ephesians 5? The husband. Who takes the Holy Spirit's place in Ephesians 5? The woman. The woman's job, like the Holy Spirit's job, is to bring conviction about the relationship. That's why if I really want to know how a marriage is going, I won't ask the husband. He doesn't know. He's either going to overshoot it or undershoot it, but the woman will always know because it's her job to bring conviction about what needs to be done. It's the husband's job to die for the relationship. Are we getting close now? You're beginning to see how it's going to fit. Isn't it just nasty? Now, in roles, who's the greatest in the unholy Trinity? God, the Father, and the Trinity, the husband, or the wife? God, the Father. In essence, who's the greatest? God, the Father, the husband, or the wife? God, the Father. When it comes to roles in the unholy Trinity, between the husband and the wife, in essence, who's the greatest? Neither. Neither. This is where most people's relationships are so messed up. Neither. But in roles, who's the greatest? The husband. So when you're making a decision, when it talks about mutual submission, it's in essence. When it's talking about full submission, it's role. And if you got your role and your essence together in a marriage, you are a beautiful thing. Okay? The Holy Spirit, God the Son, God the Father, has their roles and their essence perfect. Can you imagine them ever arguing about their role if their essence is secure? Human beings cannot get their self-image. You are not made to ever get your self-image out of your role. If you try to get your self-image out of your role, you are a miserable person to live with. You get your self-image out of your essence, who you are, and it doesn't matter what you do. Because if you get your self-image out of your essence, what you do don't make you lower or a rug or a head or whatever. Are you flowing with the pastor? That just flat good relationship right there. Can you imagine the Holy Spirit saying, I am sick and tired. Look here. I am tired of always being the third. I had this set. Every time they turn around, they are talking about it. They call me an it. Jesus, they don't call you an it, do they? Yeah. They're always thinking about me. Jesus this, Jesus that. I'm freaking tired. You think you ever see the Holy Spirit do that? If you're a wife, understand the relationship and the roles, would you ever do that? Yeah, every day. Why? The minute you start getting your self-image from your role, you're going to go off. A husband. You can just see Jesus Christ going, Oh, you think it's so great to be the head? Huh? Huh? All the people falling on me all the time. Hey, every time you turn around, I'm on the cross somewhere. You ain't never gave no blood. And then they both look at me, and you, Father, you just do cry. You just sit up there and take all the glory. But you guys, you know? And that's what happened in our relationships. We start getting our self-image from our roles. We got trouble, people. We got serious trouble. You can't do it. And God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit has the perfect balance in role and essence. What does he expect for us to have in relationship between one another? Role and essence. See, roles and essence produce a team. Just essence produce pandemonium. Everyone thinks they're equal in a home or a house, in a marriage. Just roles don't work. Just essence produces no decision. Just a role produces every man for themselves. Essence, pandemonium. Just flat roles produce dictatorships. And that's not what God ever asked in any relationship. Okay? I mean, that's the truth on all of us, isn't it? And just think, it's based off of not the 10 steps to have a great marriage. It's based off of God's relationship to God. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that's how I came up with my whole relationship class, off of this right here. I got so sick and tired of all the mamby-pamby stuff out there about men and women and husbands and wives and parents and children. I just got sick of it. I go, where is it coming from besides psychobabble, half of it? It should be based on this. And our relationship with God is never based. Now, here it is. Our relationship with God is always based on role. Our relationship with God is never based on our essence. And it's never about me, what I want with God. I never tell God what I want in this relationship. There's no I's in success and only one you. When it comes to God, you succeed with him. One. That's right. Right. You know when it stops being a role with your children? Everyone hear that question? Is it always role with children too? Yes. When does a child become essence? When they're out of your house. And they're taking care of themselves on their own. Even if they're in the house and stand around a little bit. But, you know, if they want to stay in the house, they still got to deal with your rules. So a child that stays in the house all as long as he wants to stay in still has to submit in some ways. Because it's not their house. Come here, get out of amen. My children know there's an easy street right out there. Right outside the gate. That's an easy street. Now, I didn't say the street would be easy, but it's easy for them to get to that street. Can I have an amen on that? And we have I'm a very strict dad, but I'm a lot of fun. You know, I'm consistent. That's what kids need. Why? Because there's essence in our home, or is there roles in the home? Roles. And it stays that way. Okay? Because they look at me and my wife, and how I'm consistent is going to teach them how they need to respond to a God who is more consistent than the parents. And they got to teach through us, their relationship with God is all role. There is no essence involved. You do not tell God, this is what I want out of the relationship. Isn't that cold? God says, how tall are you? I'm 6'2". You ever seen a 6'2 frog? I can make one. And then that's why I started developing the whole relationship class off of the Trinity. Man, it makes it seem so wise, doesn't it? Well, you guys can say yes. All right, definition of essence. Are you ready? Where do we get our self-image from? From our essence. If you get your self-image from your role, what are you? We call miserable, exasperating, stinking individual. You're messy. M-E-S-I. Miserable, exasperating, stinking individual. Don't forget that. All right? Epson. Ooh, I see some Star Trek. The quality or qualities of a thing that gives it its identity. The indispensable properties of a thing. Psalms 139. You are wonderfully made, created by God. Who in your mother's womb? God made you in your essence. Did God, does God, has God, have, or will God ever make a mistake in what he creates? But every one of us, if we look at our roles, won't like what God made. Okay? So it is what I am. Nothing can take this essence of who I am. I am the only one that can feel bad about the essence of me. Isn't that great? And if I'm the only one that can feel great about the essence of me, I'm the only one that can put it down. But guess what I do? I give you power over my essence. I give my mate power over my essence. No one can take your essence away from you. And you can be just as calm when everyone else is upset, or you can be upset when everyone else is calm, because you realize this isn't something to be calm about. But everyone else thinks you're making a mountain out of a molehill. Or they look at you and go, this is very serious. And you're going, no, it's not. Why? Because it's coming from your essence. Star Trek. The characteristic and expected social behavior of an individual. A function or a position. How many of you guys have ever... I love Mark. I think on Mark. Mark, you ever seen some of those guys at Microsoft that once they walk in the building, they're totally different than when they walk outside and get on their motorcycle or get in their car? What makes them different? Who they are or what they're doing or what they're riding? That's right. You've seen a guy, man, could act like a complete geek in one situation, put on a leather coat, pick up a guitar, and the coolest thing in the world. Can't hear you. But think about living with a person like that. He goes off, he grab a leather jacket, put it on, and put the guitar in his hand and tell him to go to bed. Because he's getting his self-image from his what? Role. What type of person gets their self-image from a role? Okay, here we go. You guys tell me, is this an essence or a roles verse? For you are all the sons of God. What time is it? Wow. For you are all the sons of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew or Greek, bond or free. There is neither male or female. For you are all one in Christ. Essence role. Essence. Now, what if you take that verse right there and put it and make it read who could be a leader in the church? According to that verse right there, anybody can be a pastor. Anybody can be an elder. Anybody can lead the family. Anybody can do whatever they want. So is that an essence verse or a role verse? Essence. Can you take an essence verse and make it a role verse? Not without confusion. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Essence of role verse. Role. Role. If you take that verse and override all of her essence, she's the doormat. If you take it in her essence, she is something to be loved as Christ loved the church. Now, why does this verse say to your own husband? Women don't have problems submitting to a man, just a husband. Why? Because that's the only part of the curse. You see, if women had a problem submitting to men, that would be no adulterous affairs, because women wouldn't put up with any man outside of a husband. Wouldn't submit. Because that's not the struggle with someone that don't have authority over you. Unless it's your husband. How many women work for a man that they know they're better than that man and know the job better than that man, but will submit? Why? Because that's not part of the curse. We're going to get into that one. You're going to love that, Jack. Is that an essence verse or is that a roll verse? Can't hear ya. Roll. This is a true saying. If a man desires the office of a bishop, he desires a good thing. Roll the essence. Roll. It's a roll verse. You have a lot of struggle in the church. We're going back and forth on these verses because the average, well, I won't say the average church, the majority of all the churches don't know the difference between a roll verse and an essence verse. I feel heaven coming down. Next week we want to have some brother bass. Then you can really understand. How you guys like so far? We're just in the middle of the first aspect of the Trinity. Next week we step into the second part of the Trinity. Our goal is going to be always to remember the triangle, because we can take God the Father and make God the Father and Jesus Christ the same. We've proven that God the Father and Jesus Christ is the same as the Holy Spirit, because God the Father and the Holy Spirit is the same. Of what, if we take the Holy Spirit and make Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit the same, we've already proven that God the Father. Now, in order for us to understand Jesus Christ, God the Father, and the Holy Spirit's role, we got to make them, in essence, at the top before we can study their role.
So are you saying that we're not going to understand what you're saying until we don't say we're wrong? I'm understanding essence and role, and then you're throwing in, and I get confused all over again.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that great? But the problem is, when we get through, it's going to be so clear to you. Every aspect of the Trinity we add in is going to make the whole picture clearer and clearer. And then you're going to know how to hear about how to pray. Okay? Any questions before we close? Yes, ma'am.
Sometimes you can take the scripture out of the context
and all go down. Yep. If it's fulfilled in the New Testament, yes. The New Testament cannot stand with us alone, because you can't take verses out of there that isn't fulfilled in the New Testament. For the New Testament does not replace the Old Testament. It fulfills the Old Testament. So you can't take any verse out of the Old Testament and make it stand alone unless you want to get back under the law. Do you want that? Do that? No. We do not. What was the purpose of the Old Testament with Christ being the center? Drive us to faith in Christ. The law was given just to drive us to Christ. Grace was given so we can be accepted by Christ.
Question. Mm-hmm. It almost sounds as if you're saying that you can take the Bible, split it into two books, one of essence and one of role.
Absolutely. If you're going to understand the entire Bible, you cannot understand the Bible without taking it in its entire essence and role context all the way through. Because how do we understand God on what He has revealed through His essence and role? How do we understand any relationship, essence and role of the Trinity and how it works? How do we understand how the church works? How God works with God in His relationship? How do we understand relationships? How God works with God in their relationship? How do we understand the aspect of what man and women can and can't do through God and His essence and roles throughout all the scriptures?
So can you then say that there's a corollary essence role for every role? Corollary essence? first every role verse?
You can say that, but what you have to understand is that oftentimes you cannot match them. Because you cannot have a role situation in an essence situation. Okay? Now, they may be parallel right there, but you got to choose which one is right at this moment. My wife and I constantly have to do that. When we're dealing in our relationship, is this an essence situation while we talk and discuss, or is this a role situation where I move? You know, I never had to put my foot down after 20 years in my marriage. July would be 21 years. I never had to put my foot down in a role situation because we hadn't worked things out in the essence way. See, God gives me a role when, and I understand that this is so important. The only time I need to step in as a role in my family, in the situation between my wife and I, is when there's a decision or a lack of decision that's driving a wedge between the two of us. There's nothing more important than my wife and I being one. And if we can't come to a conclusion, I say, you know what? Honey, I've listened, we prayed, we talked about it, that's it. We're getting a wedge between us, it's going to be this way. And she submits. But I never had to do that. And that's just a blessing, guys. But if I have to do it, Elvis, not saying it won't happen. Because our kids are getting older. Can I have an amen? Don't say it won't happen. But if I ever have to do it, I got to take on a double responsibility when I step into that role. Number one, am I right before my family? Am I right before God? The woman can't lose. Number one, if I'm wrong, and one of the things I have done to eliminate that is as the head, if I ever get that position, I can take her role. I can take her answer how to do things and still be just as correct. See, that's the greatest thing about mutual submission. As you move out of essence into the role, I can go, you know, I think she's better at this or in this particular aspect, and I give that to her. I can't lose. And if I'm selfish, I put it on her more often because I can't lose. Because I know she can't lose. Now, you're going, how can that be? Easy. If I make the decision, it's a wrong decision, she's got the satisfaction of knowing she was right. Can I have an amen on that? And if she was wrong and I was right, she'd get the benefit of the right decision. So if I'm selfish, I give her the decision. So if she's wrong, I just go to the garage and laugh. Because I can't laugh in front of her. Because her role is to make it really burst if I laugh in front of her. Can I have an old man on that? But if she's right, guess what I do? See, the submissive role, that's why Jesus Christ, the greatest submitter in all the world was Jesus Christ. He couldn't lose even unto death. Sarah was the Old Testament equivalent to that mutual submission even unto sin, because when she submitted to her husband, who she thought was a dog, to go with the king, God moved in and said, told the king what? You want to live? Take that woman right there. You are going to die. Because she believed in such a way that I can trust God even in a submission unto sin. The Bible always gives us example that we will never live. See? So that you cannot fall on the opposite side of the example. That's how God wrote the book. Are we excited about this class? Studying it? It's going to be good. Yeah, Mark? No, I didn't. Remind me to start the class off next Wednesday of my perfect picture of the Trinity.